All right, good morning and a happy Saturday to you as we welcome you in. Hope you're doing well, having a nice weekend, getting ready. It does feel weird, right? Does it feel weird not to have football on this Saturday? Don't worry, we've got the two games tomorrow. We've got you covered all day today, VSiN. We'll be back tomorrow here on the Lombardi Line to get you set up the props, side total, whatever you want. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. The mayor's coming up. There's Michael Lombardi. Quickly, RIP to a broadcast legend. It feels like we're doing this way too often. Hey, 2020, I thought you were done, but Larry King's passed. And one thing I'll say about Larry King, Michael, the biggest Dodger fan on the planet, legitimate Dodger fan.
Yeah, it goes back to when he was the Brooklyn Dodger fan.
Right.
I mean, he and Al Davis shared a great love of the Brooklyn Dodgers, and he would often come to our practices at the Raiders. His one of his wives, I don't remember. I think his last wife, Sean, had a brother that played quarterback at BYU that we carried on the practice squad forever.
Hmm.
Don't ask me why, but we did. It wasn't because he was uniquely talented, but I think that's how much the relationship between Al Davis and Larry King meant to one another. And, you know, we would carry this quarterback, and I keep asking, are we sure we can't replace him? And the answer was always no. He's on the team, so there we go. And so that's kind of what he was. He was, I think they're both from Erasmus High School back in the day. They've known each other, knew each other a long time. And, you know, we got to see him walk around. Always at Nate Now's in Beverly Hills, probably one of your hangouts when you lived in Los Angeles as well. You probably had a reserved table just like Larry did there at Nate Now's. So, yeah, unfortunate. But great, you know, I mean, he put that 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock hour with his interviews on the map. I mean, he got Brando to interview for him. I mean,
I
think
know.
About that. That's kind of remarkable, right?
Yep. Hammer and Hank.
I mean, the only thing he probably has, he didn't get Bill Berman to interview. But, I mean,
hey,
other
BB.
Than that. Yeah, I mean, other than that, he had a lot of interviews.
Yeah, 100%. Larry King, rest in peace. By the way, did you see, Matt Patricia, he's grounded again. He went back to his mom's basement, his mom and dad's basement there with the Patriots.
Where's the meatloaf, Mom? Meatloaf. Yeah, bring me the meatloaf. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to clean my room, Ma. But anyway.
I think Matt needs this more than ever. I think he needs kind of chill and kind of get himself back on track. I think his experience in Detroit is going to look back as a life learning experience, and I think it's probably the best thing for him emotionally and mentally to go back with Bill.
I'll be up in a minute. Gosh, Matt, grow up. Treat people well. You'll get another gig. When we come back, we'll get the mayor on right now.
And we need Flatter's picks, too.
Yeah,
I mean, just seriously, throw us a crumb, Brad. I mean, seriously.
Pegasus World Cup. Let's hear it, Ron Flatter. Here's an action update.
Patrick, Michael, I'll give you a quick trivia note. Larry King, actually, part of his early days in his career, color man on broadcasts of Miami Dolphins on the radio. While nose tackle Vita Vea comes back for the Tampa Bay defense, the Buccaneers offense will be missing Antonio Brown for tomorrow's NFC Championship game at Green Bay. Packers cornerback Kevin King missed practice yesterday because of an aching back. He's questionable to play in the snow tomorrow at Lambeau. Packers favored by 3.5 or 4 against the Buccaneers, over under a half point either side of 52. While Patrick Mahomes is on course to start in tomorrow's AFC Championship, the Chiefs list running backs Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell as questionable. Same goes for wide receiver Sammy Watkins and cornerbacks Bashaud Breeland and Rashad Fenton. The Bills look healthier, listing only wide receiver Gabriel Davis and defensive tackle Vernon Butler as questionable. Kansas City favored by mostly 3, mostly with added juice, and the over-under is a consensus 54. Four games involving ranked basketball teams starting in an hour. Number 8, Houston, favored by 11.5 at Temple. Ninth-ranked Kansas, a 1-point favorite at Oklahoma. Number 11, Creighton, laying 8, hosting number 23, Connecticut. And number 16, Virginia Tech, a 1.5-point underdog at Syracuse. The NFL is moving toward its grand finale. VSiN betting experts have every angle covered. And every other sport, too. We're tracking the NBA, college hoops, horse racing, soccer, and tennis, hockey as well, and new shows like The Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shah starting on Monday at 2 Eastern. Get the best bet emails every day, 24/7 video, point spread weekly, too. Start your free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Did I hear Michael Lombardi? Do you want to say something, buddy?
No, I just wanted to know what Ron's picks were, but I guess he just, you know, he's the horse expert along with you. I thought, you know, we would have a tip there, throw me a bone, but that's all right.
I'll get you. It's the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. You can find it at vsin.com/podcast. He'll give you the picks for the Pegasus World Cup. The Nuts, of course, debuts 11 a.m. on, well, let me just think now. What time is it? It's 11 a.m. Pacific. Okay.
So
2 p.m. Eastern time on Monday. That is, of course, Amal Shaw and our guest right now, the mayor, Mike Palm. We say, good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Patrick. Good morning, Michael. Happy birthday, Bill. Good morning, Manchester City, New Hampshire. All of our family watching on NESN. Good morning, Creed, Illinois. Peekaboo, Marquee. We see you.
Yes, 100%. Same shtick, a different day. We say good morning to Mike Palm. Are you excited about Monday, Mike?
Well, I'm excited about the crossover at 10:45. That's what I'm really excited about. The hour that we have to do with just me and them all, we'll struggle through it. But that crossover is going to be dynamite.
100%.
We can't wait to have you. I mean, it's just, you know, excited that, you know, it's going to help our show tremendously knowing that are going to tune in, you know, to watch you guys and carry us. I mean, we really appreciate it, Mike. There's no denying that. I truly appreciate that. I'm excited. I'm really excited for the next hour of everybody needs more Mike Palm and a little bit more Amal.
Yeah, what do you think? What's the over-under on the number of picks Amal will give in any given week? I'd say
let's go
under
by
a
week.
Half, lay
let's,
180.
I say, what, I'm going to go 2.5 picks at the most. But they're not going to be picks. They're going to be categorized as leans. So that's a technicality. We're probably going to need like a linguist to come in and express, well, this is really my lean. It's really not my pick. I mean, get ready for, there's like going to be a lot of leaning going on over there.
Well, we will lean in and watch coming up this Monday here on VSiN, the Nuts debuting with Mike Palm and, of course, Amal Shaw. Amal's going to give crazy picks. You'll see. Okay, today and tomorrow, let's set the scene over at Stadium Swim. What are you expecting for MMA? I don't know if you're a big – I know we'll get some soccer plays here. We'll get into the conference championship games. But MMA at Stadium Swim, what are you expecting tonight?
Well, we'll have the prelims on today, but we're going to show the main card at Bar Canada at the D. So we've already got that all sectioned off, all draped off. We got some VSiN personalities coming down. I know Matty Humans is coming down. Randy McKay is coming down. So that'll be a rocking scene at Bar Canada tonight when we show the main event. Yeah, they'll be good for the undercard today at Stadium Swim. But Bar Canada will really be the spot tonight.
Okay, Mike, let's do this, and then we'll get to the Palm Reader's playbook, of course, here on VSiN. Let's talk about these numbers. We'll start with Tampa Bay and Green Bay. We have seen that jump up to 4 here. I'm still looking. Circa still has 3.5. BetMGM is 3.5. It's juiced up to 20 and a total of 52. Any surprises with the side in total here with the Bucks and Packers?
No, I don't know how long much longer we can hang on to 3.5 either. We're just going to keep getting Packer money, I think, throughout the rest of the day and tomorrow morning. I laid the money line because I didn't think that the line might get away from us, and I like the Packers in this spot. But, you know, tough. Rodgers is playing so well, and he controls the game so well. You're not going to see him make the mistakes that Drew Brees did to really give that game to Tampa Bay last weekend.
Yeah, so that's, by the way, Michael, that's, I just want to get this in. That's group one, and I like what Mike Palm's doing here. He's going to mitigate the risk there with the, now it's all the way up to 4, and lay the 175 as far as a money line, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Mike on this. I think that, you know, when you look at Tampa, yes, they played good defense. I mean, they played two quarterbacks that I would not say are playoff caliber quarterbacks. Now, I know Drew Brees had some injuries, and his wife talked about the bad ankle, and he's got the shoulder injury and all that. But, you know, it was clear, and I'm disappointed in myself, that I didn't really count that into the handicap in last week, because they were still, as bad as Brees was, Mike Palm, they had, you know, if Cook doesn't fumble, they're probably playing here this weekend. You know, Cook, that turnover chain, it went from, I'm sitting on the couch with my sons, it's 20 to 13. The next thing I know, the game ends 30 to 20. And I still don't know how the hell it happened. Like, and then Breeze really fell apart when he had to throw it. And to me, I just never got the sense that Tampa beat a good team last Sunday.
You know, Michael, I laid 3 in that game, right? And then I laid 2.5. And after the first 2 red zone possessions, the first quarter and a half played out like the first 2 games, except New Orleans was kicking field goals instead of touchdowns. After
That's
they
right.
went up 6-0 and squandered both red zone opportunities, I took 5.5 with Tampa Bay. And I actually had a little bit of a middle set up there between 3.5 and 2.5 and 5.5. Yeah, the fumble turned it, and then once they got behind and he had a drop back, it was no good. But if they convert early in the red zone, that's a whole totally different game.
100%. The Cook fumble was just monumental. Already up there looking to increase their lead. Okay, group one for the Palm Readers playbook. You've got money line on the Packers. You got a ton of soccer in group two. Let me ask you about the late game tomorrow. That's Buffalo and Kansas City. I'll say this. You're juiced up at circa to 120. Bet MGM's juiced up to 120. So that number, Kansas City, he's on its way to 3.5, Mike Palm.
Did you see what we opened this game?
What did you open?
We opened this game Buffalo 1. We opened it Buffalo 1. Some of that was due to the concern about Mahomes and would he play, but most of it's due to our future book where we just get hammered to Buffalo in the AFC and the Super Bowl. So that's our only liability going in, and we took some six-figure bets on Buffalo to win the Super Bowl. So we tried to draw Kansas City money, we didn't draw enough of it. I hope we continue to get it, because otherwise we really need the Chiefs. I know maybe it's not a bad position to be in, but we really need somebody to knock Buffalo out.
You how about that? You got a team that's won 24 of 26 straight up, and you need them.
Mm-hmm. That's, we need them badly.
That's interesting. How about the two totals? If I were to pin you down on one, Mr. Palm, 52 I'll give you in Green Bay. You understand, we know the weather. It's going to be in the 20s, snow early potentially. And then you could see some rain, but it's going to be mild, you know, in the 40s in Kansas City. That number is 54.5.
Yeah, I leaned, you know, under in that 50. I thought that number got away in the Cleveland game, 57 last week. This 54 seems more about right for this game. I know, you know, Josh Allen's playing awful well, and the Kansas City defense struggles to stop the run. So, I don't, you know, he's going to have to make some mistakes for them to punt. He's going to have to be inaccurate. I like the under a bit more in the Green Bay game. Because look, you saw Arians last week. He knew that he's not going to throw the ball 50 times with Brady. They ran the ball effectively against that Saints defense. They were able to gain 4, 5, 6, 7 yards on first down running the ball and set up Tom Brady in a lot of second and short and third and short, especially in the second half when they took control of that game. So I think there'll be more running in that game in Green Bay. The weather may force more running. I would tend to go under in the Packer game.
Your thoughts, Michael?
Yeah, I think, to me, if you're the Packers, you do want to play an under game. I think you want to control the game with the quarterback through your passing game. And even if there may be more passing attempts, I think the idea is to keep the ball in play, limit what Brady has to do, play from in front, and then make your defense really be able to rush the passer and pressure him. So I do see it. I think these games have to be played specifically away, unlike the regular season where the games can get away from you a little bit. I think you have to control the pace, and Green Bay can do that with their offense. I mean, everybody's talking about, well, you know, it's hard to run the ball in Tampa. Well, it is, but you can throw swings and you can throw flats and you can get 4 or 5 yards anywhere you can.
Okay, let's go group two as we discuss with Mike Palm. Of course, Mike Palm Circa on Twitter, the Palm Readers Playbook, host of The Nuts. We got a lot of soccer. Is there one you want to tackle here for the audience as far as the soccer plays in group two?
Well, we started out pretty good today, right? Hauschka Villarreal was 0-0, so we hit that one. QPR Derby, I think, is 0-0 in the 60th minute. Hertha Berlin, Werder Bremen. Now, that's a Bundesliga game, which you don't see me put Bundesliga in because that's an over league, but it's awfully cold. This cold spell that went through England last weekend, hits Germany, and that's a late game. That goes, that game goes at like 5:30, 6 o'clock local time. So it'll be awful cold in Berlin for that game. So that's really a weather play there. Burnley and Fulham are both under teams. No, yeah, I mean, Burnley beats Liverpool on a
that was incredible
penalty. It really should have been a 0-0 game. But they end up winning 1-0. I really like that game, Fulham and Burnley, both two dead under teams. Burnley, other than Sheffield United, Burnley scores the least goals in the EPL. And then, Schmeichel's right on top of his game. He's really in stroke now as far as goaltenders in EPL. And we laid 145 on the three-way with Leicester City as well tomorrow.
Worried about Novardi potentially, but yeah, I also like Leicester.
Patrick, how do you feel about Mike Palm's Doppler being able to extend to Europe and yours can't? How do you feel about that?
I appreciate you highlighting that because
Mike Palm has the ability to reach the European weather charts, and you're sitting there in Las Vegas and had no idea it was cold over there.
I was hoping nobody heard that because I was getting jelly. he's got a Doppler in Dusseldorf, and I'm over here trying to figure out what's happening in Detroit, Michigan.
Seriously, like, we can't get global weather out of you? I mean, you're limited to regions in the United States? Great Lakes?
He's got tremendous internet.
Michael, we're still waiting for the wind and the rain from the hurricane in Mobile, Alabama that Patrick predicted back in
that's
August.
That's right. I forgot about that.
No, I said 2021. I said, remember, that was coming. I'm worried about the lake effect.
Change the subject. That's what great hosts do. They can change the subject so brilliantly, Mike.
No, I appreciate that. And thank you for calling out the weather. I was thinking the same thing. I was hoping he wasn't going to go to Japan. I was getting worried. Okay. So there it is. You can always find the Palm Readers playbook. We send them out with the email, vsin.com/subscribe at Mike Palm Circa. Before we let you go, any thoughts?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
I have a question for Mike Palm. Like, Mike, when do you watch these soccer games and how do you get so much data on them? I'm like, what's your process to really handicapping all these soccer games in Europe with the time differences and not to mention how you handle the weather, but that goes beside itself. But how do you handle that? Are you watching them when you're down there at the D or are you over at Stadium Swim? You have it on?
Yeah, we have a lot of them on, especially where we have all these multiple channels or in the sports book, we can go 16. We're watching every EPL match. You know, it's either on NBC Sports, NBC, or the Peacock, that streaming service. So La Liga, BN gets you the La Liga, Gala. You see every Mexican game. I watch a lot of them, and the ones that aren't on TV or I don't have an opportunity to watch, I'm going to go back and look at the lineups, look at the box scores, Michael. And even if I'm not watching it, I'm charting how the end game moves with totals. So, you know, it's a lot of digestion. It's something I never did for the first 46 years of my life. But we had a pandemic, and it was down to soccer or Russian ping pong, and I chose to get into soccer.
Speaking of Russia, not to flex, 35 degrees in Moscow right now. Not to flex, though.
That's easy to say. That's like saying it's cold in Minsk. I mean, seriously, anybody can pull that one off. I mean,
don't bring Minsk into this, okay? Okay, Mike Palm, great job, and congratulations. You got about a minute here. Would you like to preview what to expect here?
Yeah, I
want to
know
what
the show's going to be about, besides Lamal just leaning one way or the other.
Well, it's going to be us talking about, talking about the matchups. It's going to be us talking about betting strategies, especially in-game, and being able to take advantage of in-game strategies. It's going to be, about us debating some of the topics of the day in sports, and we'll do a few fun things there. We'll have JBT on to talk NBA during the week. We'll have Darren Banks, who played for the Boston Bruins, on to talk hockey. So we'll have a few guests, but it's only an hour show. So, you get them all wound up on something, and he could fill those middle two segments on his own.
Yeah, an hour show, that's runway, and then you're about to land. So you got to get, there's a lot of information you're going to get in there, and I'm looking forward to it. It's coming up, The Nuts with a Z, Mike Palm, Amal Shaw, coming up. That's 2 Eastern, 11 West on Monday starting. At Mike Palm Circa, Palm Readers
Mike,
Playbook.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank
Appreciate
you. Bring
you.
Bring your buddy in tomorrow, please. I can't wait to see which way he's leaning.
Yeah, we'll be in studio, God willing, tomorrow.
Yeah, whenever Amal's making his picks, you got to make sure there's a wall nearby so he can lean. By the way, did you see?
Yes, sir.
Stephanie asked me when I walked in. She's like, "Wait, is this Josh McCown thing a joke?" So Caldwell interviewed. Caldwell probably never should have been fired with the Lions. We get that. He's 66 now. And then Josh McCown, all of a sudden, he's on the radar for the Texans. What's up?
I wrote a column yesterday for The Athletic. I said they should hire Marvin Lewis. And, you know, I wrote that sentence that, you know, don't snicker, don't stop reading. I mean, Marvin Lewis has 131 wins in the NFL. Mike Ditka had 121. Marvin Lewis is 27th on the all-time win column, doing it at Cincinnati. You know, everybody's screaming Eric Bieniemy doesn't get a job. How about Marvin Lewis getting another opportunity? Like, why doesn't that happen? Like, Marvin Lewis has got 131 wins. He's 8 behind Hall of Famer Tony Dungy in wins. He's ahead of some Hall of Famers. He's ahead of Hank Stram in wins. And yet he doesn't even get a job. I would hire him immediately for that job. I know we got 30 seconds. I think we should continue this coming back, and okay. I can tell you in depth about why Josh McCown is in that interview.
Okay, let's continue that conversation as 6 of the 7 head coaching vacancies have been filled. My thoughts are they're stalling for Bieniemy. I'll ask Michael when we come back here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN. It's the Sports Betting Network. Season's full swing and the wrap-up of the NFL. It's time for you to get into Quick Picks. Play the daily sports parlay game with the highest limits and the biggest payouts on the fastest and easiest game in the business. Quick Picks keeps it simple with the daily matchups, over-unders of the best players from all your favorite teams. Sign up for Quick Picks and get 100% free deposit bonus up to $100. You can use PayPal. You know it's going to be secure. If you're not living in a state with legal mobile sports betting for you to play, no problem. Quick Picks offers legal parlay action in nearly 30 states, including New York, California, Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, and Illinois. Legal for residents in 28 states, must be 21 years or older. Go to quickpicks.com/beastinbonus to find out more. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher. He's Michael Lombardi. By the way, how did Millie's birthday turn out?
It's still going on. I mean, it continues through the month of January. It's a celebration unlike any other.
It's like Mardi Gras.
It's longer than the exactly. It actually is Mardi Gras. We call it Milli Gras. We've always called it Milli Gras. Actually, I would say that today, in fairness to her, it's over with today because all the children have left. So the house is empty, and there's really nothing left. So that we move on to another event. Valentine's Day will be up. That's another event that'll last a while. But it's all good. Life is good. I can't complain.
She's still wearing her Lombardi Line hoodie that you got?
Yep, still got the hoodie going. Hopefully we'll get the store open up here pretty soon. We'll get people so they can buy some stuff. So it'll be good. I think we're in the process of making that happen.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, and we'll get you in a blue ones eventually. So, but let's get back to the real
core issue here. I just want to say,
weather in Minsk. Let's get back to the core issue here.
Yes, please.
The reality here is, so Jack Easterby, and I wrote this column for The Athletic yesterday about what I thought Nick Cesario should do. And I thought it should be a three-step program, right? He should go hire a coach first. Forget the noise. You know, forget the Deshaun Watson noise that's all out there. You know, my son Mick, I was talking to him driving over here this morning, and he's like, I was watching some receivers last night. I happened to be watching Will Fuller. Oh, my God, there's no way they could trade Deshaun Watson. He's great. Like, you know, when you're a receiver coach like my son is in the NFL, you're not watching a lot of the other quarterbacks. You're watching the receivers. You're watching the pass game. You're watching the defense more than you're watching the offense, right? So you're trying to – he's like, oh, my God, there's no way they could trade him. Yeah, that's right. There's no way they can trade him. Okay, so let's put that over here on the back burner. We'll get to that in a minute. So the first step is let's hire a coach. I thought they should hire Marvin Lewis. And I really believe that. And I think when you break this down, I mean, you know, Bill Cowher is going to the Hall of Fame. He's got 149 wins. I mean, when you break Marvin Lewis's career down, more wins than Sid Gilman, more wins than Dick Vermeil, more wins than George Allen, more wins than John Gruden. I mean, you know, John Gruden's making $100 million for 10 years. I mean, seriously. So I would hire him. I think he'd give you credibility. Here's what I like about Marvin. Marvin can clean up messes. If you worked in Cincinnati, all you've dealt with is messes. You know, it's like that character in the Peanuts cartoon that always Linus, he always has dirt around him. That's kind of like working in Cincinnati. There's always a problem going on. Won 131 games. Now, I know he didn't win a playoff game. I get that. He's 0-7. But to get them to the playoffs, I mean, you talk about getting the Medal of Freedom from a president. That deserves that for what he accomplished in Cincinnati. So that's A. B, I think you got to handle the Easterbrook situation. And I've said this to anybody that listens. I think this is going to be a real problem. It's not because the media thinks it's a problem. It's because the players in the building. The Josh McCown interview was all from Easterbrook. He brought him down there. Josh McCown are clients. And I love Josh McCown, one of the great human beings of all time. Is he ready to become a head coach? No. Will he ever be a head coach in the NFL? Absolutely. He has every opportunity to be one. He's smart. He can motivate people. He lets people follow him. He can lead, but he ain't ready yet. This is big boy league. So, but if you want to realize it, Easterbee is the driving force behind that, which tells me Nick is listening to Easterbee, which is what I wrote he shouldn't do. He needs to be his own man in this situation. And then finally, he's got to go spend time with Deshaun Watson's mother. He's got to go spend time with Dabo Swinney, not to recruit them, but to understand what the problem is. Because 139 days ago, he signed a multi-million dollar contract where he got $27 million deposited in his bank account. What has gone wrong over those 139, now 140 days that we need to figure out? And once we do that, then we can solve the problem. The answer to the problem is in the problem. It's not outside the problem.
Great. Tremendous job. Watson was great in high school, great in college. He's great in the pros. You don't get rid of that. It's even money. You see the number there. The Texans, the Jets 4-1, the Dolphins 5-1. To Michael's point, as far as Marvin Lewis, a young 62, he had a stretch in Cincinnati. He won 9 games, 10 games, 11 games, 10 games, and 12 games. The dude can
it's
coach.
It's unbelievable how the narrative of the poor guy he's 0-7. I get it, right? I get it. You know, he didn't win a playoff game. But this guy, and I haven't talked to Marvin Lewis in probably 2 years. I like Marvin. We kind of came in the league at the same time I've known him. He's too good of a coach to be assistant at Arizona State.
Finish that thought coming up. Thomas Gable joins as well. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Major horse race of 2021, the Pegasus World Cup. VSiN and First Bet, they're teaming up. We are. For expanded coverage plus an exclusive offer. So here's the deal. We're going to give you $20 risk-free to bet on today's race at Gulfstream Park. Go to vsin.com/horses for details. Again, best bets. You're also going to get Brent Musburger, Jeff Siegel, Dave Tooley. That's vsin.com/horses. Sign up now for a completely risk-free $20 wager to bet on the Pegasus World Cup. We do welcome you back. We're going to head out to our buddy Thomas Gable at the Borgata, runs the race and sports book. Big NFL news. I'm going to let Thomas run with this because he's also got a ton of UFC news. Little known fact about Thomas Gable, back in his days at St. Joe's, he was quite a street fighter back in his days at St. Joe's in college. So he's carried that over into his professional
career.
Asking
about weather in Moscow.
He is a big time UFC guy because he's scrappy. Hi, Thomas Gable. Good morning.
Just another chapter in the book. Yeah?
Another chapter. Hey, before you go on MMA, yeah. We over here, Patrick. It's an incredible venue. The horse book over here is huge. And it's got – did you open up the back room too today?
No, not for today. Not for today, no.
Well, you're a big horse guy like my man Patrick. Yeah. Who do you like today?
I don't have any – I haven't studied it enough today to have any picks. I don't know if Patrick wants to give any picks.
He already did.
Oh, he did. Okay,
thanks
good.
For listening.
Good. Yeah, I haven't studied enough today to give it.
TG. So anyway, quickly on the fighting, because I know in Jersey in particular, it's a big handle there tonight.
It is. It's definitely going to be big. It's amazing how much McGregor moves the needle.
Yeah.
When it comes to the UFC and just the amount of interest that it generates. I mean, UFC is always big here, but we are still restricted in the state of New Jersey. So at 10 p.m., you have to stop serving food and beverages. The restaurants have to close down. Bars have to close down. I mean, the book is still going to be operating. You can still sit in there and watch. But everybody's been calling to reserve seats to watch this event tonight. And, you have to keep telling them and reminding them there's no food and beverage after 10 o'clock. It doesn't matter. We're on a big wait list for tonight to get in here. So it's definitely going to be a very, very big handle event. And as it is any time that McGregor fights, I know a lot of books are taking a lot of McGregor money. I've seen a lot of reports on that. But here it's a little bit different. We have 87% of the tickets and 65% of the money right now in Poirier. Currently at plus 255, and might even be able to get him at a little bit better price later on when the McGregor money starts showing up here en masse. So McGregor currently, you have to lay $3.25. He opened up back in October when we opened this fight. We opened him as a $1.80 favorite, so certainly it's been bet up. I think if you're looking at McGregor, probably the better play here than laying that big number. Maybe take the Josh Applebaum special and do the McGregor by KO, TKO, or DQ prop for, I think you have to lay $1.75 on that right now is where that's priced at.
I have to say, that shocks me, Thomas, because he is such a polarizing figure. He is such generally a bet figure. I'm surprised so much money on Poirier. Does that surprise you?
Well, I'll tell you, McGregor is included in a lot of parlays here. Right. So you're seeing him being included in NFL parlays and college basketball parlays. But straight up, I mean, it's a little surprising. Listen, I don't think we're going to end with those splits when the fight goes off. Believe me, there's going to be more money on McGregor here than there is at Poirier. And there's going to be more tickets written on McGregor here throughout the day. And UFC, you have to remember, UFC is always late arriving money. Day of and right before the fight, there's always a lot of money that comes in.
What is the over-under? You have it at 2.5. Josh mentioned it earlier in the show.
Yeah.
2.5. You know, and the last time they fought, it was really quick. Now, they fought in the featherweight. That was 2014 was the last time they've actually fought. So these two men have fought before. But a lot of people think Poirier is ready and more up for the challenge. And then there's the other group that says he's perfect for McGregor to knock out quickly.
Well, McGregor, that's why I said you may want to jump on McGregor on that prop to finish him. So they get the TKO, the KO, or DQ, a little bit better money there. But I think if Poirier can really avoid that, I mean, he probably has the advantage wrestling-wise. And, it's really, can he avoid being knocked out? That's really what it comes down to.
Are you nervous as far as imbalance tomorrow, liability tomorrow, Championship Sunday at all yet?
Well, not so much on the games itself, but I actually texted Michael the other day. I mean, Tampa, we have so much liability on Tampa in the futures market. To win the conference and then to win the Super Bowl, I mean, if you combine the two together, we're well over $500,000 in liability on Tampa. So it's just a huge number. We actually had a gentleman sent Michael the ticket. This was a guy who came in. He's a professional sports bettor. Came in at the end of February and wanted to. This was way before Brady had signed, and I don't even think Tampa was on the radar for most people. And to his credit, he'd done his research and he took a position that's where Brady was going to go, and he wanted to get the best number on Tampa before Brady signed, and he did that, and he bet. took an $8,000 ticket on Tampa there to win the conference, and that will pay $288,000.
All right, so let's take that a step for the people listening to this in new markets. So he's got an $8,000 exposure to this ticket, right?
Yeah.
So obviously he could sell it off to one of the companies that'll buy the ticket for him at a profit and cover his $8,000. He could do that, but he could also talk to us what he should do in terms of getting at least his $8,000 back by betting Green Bay in this game.
Well, he certainly could do that. I don't, you know, he could certainly hedge off. I mean, you're sitting there with a ticket that, you know, could be worth $280,000 tomorrow.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you certainly could hedge that position on Green Bay.
What he should do, right?
Well, it's up to him. I mean, he's a professional bettor. This is what he does for a living. So, I'm not going to question his judgment
well,
on
I'm
this.
I'm talking about the average guy.
Yeah.
Don't you think he should just hedge it? I mean, you got $8,000 exposure. Now, maybe he's got his balance sheet that doesn't care about the $8,000. But he could then go and play X amount to get his at least get
sure.
back even.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he has way more than $8,000 on this tomorrow. So he'll be all right.
Stop by and enjoy the fights there at the Borgata. Thomas Hitman Gable. That's what they knew. That's I'm just saying. That's what they knew him as.
Minsk. Get to the weather in Minsk, will you please?
It's good purple today, too, Thomas. Thomas, enjoy it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
He's bitter at me now. Hey, I didn't do anything. We're coming back with Josh Applebaum next here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN. It's the Sports Betting Network, the Hitman. Chance to win $100 when you place a $1 wager on Conor McGregor to win against Dustin Poirier. Of course, just use the bonus code VSIN100 and get in the ring with the king to take advantage of this offer. Download the app. Make sure you use the bonus code VSIN100. Paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years or older. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia only. You got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Tennessee, call or text Redline. 800-889-9789. 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Indiana. It'd be nice to get Josh in here. I get picked on by Gable and Lombardi. And then also, we got to deal with Palm, so you guys are picking on me there. I haven't gotten any swag. Michael promised me I was going to get the jacket, the blue jacket.
As soon as we get the jacket. We'll get you a jacket. Don't worry. Frank Renzulli, the best.
The Frank Renzulli. The jacket. All right, it is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Michael's hanging out at the Borgata. Of course, I'm here at the South Point. Actually, starting to get pretty busy behind me.
I can see that. How's the hot dog cart over there? We got any action going on over there?
Hut one, hut two, hut three, hot dog cart. We got action over there as well.
We need to do that. We need it. Jimmy Vaccaro needs to set the over-under on how many hot dogs that lady's going to sell over the next this week, tomorrow, I think would be the right number. How many dogs you think she's going to be barking over there?
Well, it is.
I mean,
go ahead, Michael.
I mean, I can promise you when Berman and I get out there sometime after COVID, we bring all the family out there. We might kill that hot dog cart. We might have – Berman might set up a hot dog cart next to her just to kind of get the overflow.
Every time he says hot dog. I don't know if the Rat Pack coming to town, you and BB, I don't know if Vegas can handle you two.
Well, we're going to make it happen. I can promise you that. We've been through a lot this COVID time, and we're going to make it happen. I think we all deserve it, you know, and we'll all rally up there. We'll have fun.
Okay, just send me an Evite. I'll see if I'm available. It appears I am.
No, you'll be too busy monitoring the Eastern European weather.
Hey.
You know, Mongolia next is up on your list. I mean,
Kazakhstan,
what's happening there in Mongolia?
Yeah, we've got the weather coming. Josh, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. And speaking of weather, Patrick, the Doppler-Maher is picking up signals here in Kansas City.
Thank you.
And it doesn't look to be too bad here, guys. It's going to be, you know, high 30s, may get to around 40. Not too bad in terms of precipitation, you know, or wind, really. But, Michael, I want to throw this to you because during the show, I did notice we took in a little more money on Buffalo-Kansas City over. So this is a game where, you know, pretty much from the start, it's been pretty consistent to the over. It opened around 50, 51. It's now up to 54. But during the show, it just went to 54.5. So kind of the hook increased there on that total 54.5. We do know, you know, both these teams went under last week, but really Buffalo has been great to the over this year. The Bills 12-5-1 of the over. You may get some offensive guys back here, Edwards-Helaire, Sammy Watkins. So Michael, just your take here on this total. Are you buying this move to the over? You think we're in a high scoring game, or is this, you like it more now because you're getting the hook? You can take under 54.5 now.
You know, look, I said this on the opening of the show. The last time, you know, somebody beat him in a playoff game, it was the Patriots. And the Patriots, that game went over. And even though they were limited in time of possession in that game, the Kansas City Chiefs, they had the ball 3 minutes and 31 seconds in the fourth quarter. They scored 24 points. Carolina this year, they had the ball 21 and a change, and they scored 33 points. They are going to score points. And the question is, can Buffalo control the ball and score points? You know, you've got to be able to – not only do you have to keep the ball away from them, you can't play a doubleheader like the Saints did 92 plays. You got to have to play a game of keep away and score. Keep away and score. And so I do think it is. And I don't think you can predict the under because of limited possessions. That looks good in theory, but this Chiefs team scores 30 in 8 possessions. They score 30 and 9 possessions. So, yeah, I lean towards the over in this game. I know it's not the popular one. Everybody likes to play unders in playoff games. But I think both teams will move the football effectively. And here's the other factor. Kansas City can't stop scoring. That's why I liked them to cover last week and Mahomes got hurt on me, because Kansas City knows they can't stop scoring. They got to keep scoring to control the game.
Let's jump over to college hoops. You mentioned, Josh, in the newsletter, over 100 games to play, actually over 130 to play today. I got a sneaky one in Columbia. I think most bettors are going to look at Auburn and South Carolina, see Auburn catching 2, and think that's a good spot for the Tigers. I don't see it that way. Listen, Auburn is a turnover machine, and I know South Carolina is going to have the advantage on the boards today. Where are you with the Gamecocks hosting Auburn?
Patrick, I'm right there with you, not just because it's your alma mater and you're the pride of South Carolina here, my man, but really this is an intriguing game, because you look at kind of just the records, and this is a very heavily bet spot. But it's interesting because you look at Auburn 8-7, you look at South Carolina 3-4. Right off the bat, you say, okay, you know, Auburn's above 500, South Carolina's below 500. Yet we saw South Carolina open as a 1-point favorite at home. So that opener kind of told you right off the bat, you know, books knew they would take in a lot of Auburn money here. But yet the public is saying, of course, give me Auburn, better record against a sub 500 team. Yet here's the key, guys, the line's moving further to South Carolina, Patrick. So I don't know if you put a couple dimes down here on your Gamecocks, but this line's moving to South Carolina.
Take it easy, Applebaum.
You're coming in hot, man. This line's up to -2, -2.5. Ken Pom, our guy, he has South Carolina winning by 3 points here. You have had South Carolina, you know, not a huge, you know, kind of thing here where they've owned them in this home position, although you don't have fans here. But also Auburn, young team, a lot of freshmen here. This line's moving to South Carolina. This is a classic kind of fade the trendy dog spot where it's like you got to take Auburn, better record, yet opened as South Carolina favorite, moving further to South Carolina as a favorite. And if you want to look at a money line here, -2, just win the game, you're looking around -130 here, Patrick. So your cocks are taking an action here, my man.
I think this about this game. I think, you know, when you break it down, I mean, South Carolina has seven games to go over, but South Carolina is the fifth best offensive team in the conference, right? And typically with Frank Martin, you always get great defense. They're the fourth best defense in the conference. So, you know, and they're ahead of Auburn in both categories. So I think you can understand why people are gravitating towards South Carolina. The numbers tell you to gravitate there.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
They force turnovers. It's Frank Martin. They're the best rebounding team in the SEC. Offensively, they're great rebounding the basketball. They defend the three very well. I love this matchup for South Carolina, and I'm glad you guys are corroborating. Now, Virginia Tech, Syracuse. By the way, that South Carolina game, 8 minutes. You have a little time here. Same thing, Va Tech at Syracuse. I got Syracuse laying a point here, Josh.
Yeah, this is another similar situation here, Patrick, where usually Syracuse is a big public team, but they're coming in here unranked. Look at Virginia Tech. They're ranked 16th overall. Virginia Tech has a better record here. But same sort of thing. This line opened, you know, it was around -1.5, -2 towards Syracuse. The line got bet down a little bit. It was down to like 1, but it's coming back 1.5 here. But kind of the bones of this game haven't changed too much here, where pretty much all liability has been on Syracuse. Even though you're getting the public saying, give me Virginia Tech, they've won 3 in a row, you're getting points. Now grab it with the ranked team. The line stayed pretty much liability towards Syracuse, and now it's moving close to game, really toward tip-off, moving further towards Syracuse. That's another one. Jim Boeheim at home again. Well, you know, on our VSiN screen here, why wouldn't you take Virginia Tech plus one, the ranked 16th? Yet Syracuse is trending up to 1.5 here, so a little money on the Orangemen here.
Okay,
yeah,
go ahead, Josh.
I think Syracuse's offense is underrated. I think when they got it going last week, you know, they can score, and you know, they beat Miami soundly, 83-57. I think Syracuse's offense is going to give Virginia Tech, even though Virginia Tech's the fourth best team in the conference in terms of defense, I think they're going to give them some trouble offensively.
Okay, let's get a couple of picks in here. One, hockey, go Kings Blues. That open. The Blues lane 2, it's down to Blues lane 193 and a total of 5.5, Josh.
Yeah, Patrick, you saw a little bit of an adjustment here, line dropping St. Louis Blues, as you mentioned. You know, they open pretty much a big favorite here on -205-ish. They're down to around, you know, around 200 even. But I think this is a pretty good spot here to back the Blues. And this matches a couple systems that have done very, very well for NHL bettors this year. Number one, the Blues have an extra day of rest here. Rested favorites historically do pretty good. But here's the kicker, guys. This is a system that I've been talking a lot about on the Market Insights podcast. This year in the NHL, and we know NHL is kind of a chalky type sport with a lot of these favorites doing pretty good compared to other sports. Remember, it's money line. You're usually just picking who's going to win the game. But a favorite off a loss this year. You lose the last game, you're a favorite this game. 17-4 this year, 81%. And then they also look at home favorites in general. This is a weird thing. We've talked about the NFL and NBA where dogs have done well, road teams have done well, lack of home court advantage, no fans. Hockey's a little different. You're seeing these home favorites, 28-10, 74%. So if you like laying a number here, a -200, it's a little high. But again, bet to risk, not bet to win. Lay a unit, try to get a half unit back here on the Blues.
Okay, can I also just recommend quickly a Columbus? I know Tampa Bay's rolling, and Tampa Bay beat them 3-2 two nights ago. But I watched, I had that on the second screen, Josh, and I thought Columbus actually played very well in that game. And if I'm coming back at +150, I don't hate taking a shot with the Blue Jackets here.
I don't blame you at all, Patrick. You know, this is back-to-back. Obviously, Lightning are undefeated. But, you know, Tortorella, he's going after this guy, one of his star players who hasn't played well. This line open around -170-ish. It's dipping a little bit here. So I'm with you, Patrick. Jackets +150, intriguing spot today.
Okay. Is there – oh, quickly, and Michael, I know Michael's probably betting UFC tonight as well, but Hooker, you like Hooker in a match here.
Michael, keep an eye on our guy, Dan Hooker, tonight. Our guy Gambling Lou likes this play. Hooker open around -140. He's up to -150. It's got a lot of advantages. Younger, taller, longer reach. He's fighting a guy, Chandler, who's coming up from Bellator, kind of the competing promotional card outside of UFC. But, Michael, if you got 10 bucks lying around, fire up that app. Keep an eye on Hooker tonight.
I got you, Josh. I'm going McGregor tonight. I'm going McGregor in the under. That's what I'm going.
Okay, can I just say something? We're going to be back tomorrow for Championship Sunday, but this is getting to be nonsense. I'm being called Bubble Boy on text messages. All right, I'm being picked on. I'm being bullied. It's Palm. It's Berman.
Stephanie. When we go to 2 hours on Monday, Steph, can we have the text chain up on the sidebar so people can read this and become entertained by the Bill Berman, Mike Palm comedy hour? I mean, seriously, how Berman didn't get included in Nuts, I don't know. I mean, I'm disappointed he wasn't asked.
Less what you think, less what you've heard. I am not the Bubble Boy. Okay, we'll be back tomorrow. Fellas, enjoy the day. Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks a lot, Michael. Bubble Boy. That's called bullying. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 West, 10 East, right here on the Lombardi Line, Championship Sunday.